Hello, welcome to episode number 128 of the New Life Spring Family Audio Bible. I'm Steve Webb. Today we've got Deuteronomy chapter 4, John 11, and Psalm 50 from the Common English Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now Israel, in light of all that, listen to the regulations and the case laws that I'm teaching you to follow, so that you may live, enter, and possess the land that the Lord, your ancestors' God, is giving you. Don't add anything to the word that I am commanding you, and don't take anything away from it. Instead, keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I am commanding all of you. You saw with your own eyes what the Lord did concerning the Baal of Peor. The Lord your God destroyed everyone who followed the Baal of Peor, but all of you who stayed true to the Lord your God are alive today. So pay attention. I'm teaching all of you the regulations and the case laws exactly as the Lord my God commanded me. You must do these in the land you are entering to possess. Keep them faithfully, because that will show your wisdom and insight to the nations who will hear about all these regulations. They will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and insightful people." After all, is there any great nation that has gods as close to it as the Lord our God is close to us whenever we call to Him? Or does any great nation have regulations and case laws as righteous as all this instruction that I am setting before you today? But be on guard and watch yourselves closely so that you don't forget the things your eyes saw, and so they never leave your mind as long as you live. Teach them to your children and your grandchildren. Remember that day when you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when the Lord said to me, "Gather the people to me. I will declare my words to them so that they will learn to fear me every day of their lives on the fertile land, and teach their children to do the same." Then you all came close and stood at the foot of the mountain. The mountain was blazing with fire up to the sky, with darkness, cloud, and thick smoke. The Lord spoke to you out of the very fire itself. You heard the sound of words, but you didn't see any form. There was only a voice. The Lord declared His covenant to you, which He commanded you to do, the Ten Commandments, and wrote them on two stone tablets. At that time, the Lord commanded me to teach you all the regulations and the case laws that you must keep in the land that you are entering to possess. So watch your conduct closely, because you didn't see any form on the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the very fire itself. Don't ruin everything and make an idol for yourself, a form of any image, any likeness, male or female, or any likeness whatsoever, whether of a land animal, a bird that flies in the sky, an insect that crawls on the earth, or a fish that lives in the sea. Don't look to the skies, to the sun or the moon or the stars, all the heavenly bodies, and be led astray, worshiping and serving them. The Lord your God has granted these things to all the nations who live under heaven. But the Lord took you and brought you out of that iron furnace, out of Egypt, so that you might be His own treasured people, which is what you are right now. The Lord was angry with me because of your deeds and swore that I couldn't cross the Jordan or enter the wonderful land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. I will die here in this land. I won't cross the Jordan River, but you will, and you will take possession of that wonderful land. So all of you, watch yourselves. Don't forget the covenant that the Lord your God made with you by making an idol or an image of any kind or anything the Lord your God forbids, because the Lord your God is an all-consuming fire. He is a passionate God. Once you have had children and grandchildren and have grown old on the land, if you ruin things by making an idol in any form whatsoever and do what is evil in the eyes of the Lord your God and anger Him, I call heaven and earth as my witness against you today. You will definitely disappear, and quickly, from the land that you are crossing over the Jordan River to possess. You won't extend your time there, but will instead be totally destroyed. The Lord will scatter you among the nations. Only a very few of you will survive in the countries where the Lord will drag you. There you will worship other gods, made of wood and stone by human hands, gods that cannot see, listen, eat, or smell. You will seek the Lord your God from there, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your being. In your distress, when all these things happen to you in the future, you will return to the Lord your God, and you will obey His voice, because the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He won't let you go, he won't destroy you, and he won't forget the covenant that he swore to your ancestors. Now look into it, into the days long past before your time, all the way back to the day God first created human beings on earth, from one end of heaven to the other. Has anything this amazing ever happened? Has anything like it ever been heard of before? Has any people ever listened to a God's voice speaking out of fire, as each of you have, and survived? Or has any God ever tried to take one nation out of another nation using tests, miracles, wonders, war, a strong hand, and an outstretched arm, or awesome power, like all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt while you watched? You were shown these things so that you would know this: the Lord is the only God. There's no other God except him. From heaven he made you hear his voice in order to discipline you. On earth he showed you his great fire. You heard his words from that very fire. And because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants after them, God brought you out of Egypt with his own presence, by his own great power, in order to remove larger and stronger nations from before you and bring you into their land, giving it to you as an inheritance. That's where things stand right now. Know then today, and keep in mind, that the Lord is the only God in heaven above or on earth below. There is no other. Keep the Lord's regulations and his commandments. I'm commanding them to you today for your well-being and for the well-being of your children after you, so that you may extend your time on the fertile land that the Lord your God is giving you forever. Then Moses set aside 3 cities on the eastern side of the Jordan River, so that anyone who killed someone accidentally and without prior hatred could flee to one of those cities and be safe: Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth in Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now this is the instruction that Moses set before the Israelites. These are the laws and the regulations and the case laws that Moses made to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. This took place across the Jordan River in the valley opposite Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, the Amorite king who ruled in Heshbon, whom Moses and the Israelites defeated when they came out of Egypt. They took possession of his land and the land of Og, Bashan's king, the 2 Amorite kings across the Jordan River to the east, from Aroer, which is on the banks of the Arnon River, all the way to Mount Sion, also known as Hermon, and all the desert regions across the Jordan River on the east, down to the Dead Sea, beneath the slopes of Mount Pisgah. John chapter 11. A certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's return to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish opposition wants to stone you, but you want to go back?" Jesus answered, "Aren't there 12 hours in the day? Whoever walks in the day doesn't stumble because they see the light of the world. But whoever walks in the night does stumble because the light isn't in them." He continued, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I'm going in order to wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he will get well." They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was in a deep sleep, but Jesus had spoken about Lazarus' death. Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you can believe. Let's go to him." Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too, so that we may die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus,
Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you. Jesus told her, Your brother will rise again. Martha replied, I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She replied, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world. After she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary. The teacher is here, and he's calling for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He hadn't entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her. They assumed she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, Where have you laid him? They replied, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, See how much he loved him? But some of them said, He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying? Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, Remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days. Jesus replied, Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory? So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me. Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Untie him and let him go. Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and Pharisees called together the council and said, What are we going to do? This man is doing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our people. One of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, told them, You don't know anything. You don't see that it is better for you that one man die for the people rather than the whole nation be destroyed. He didn't say this on his own. As high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would soon die for the nation, and not only for the nation. Jesus would also die so that God's children scattered everywhere would be gathered together as one. From that day on, they plotted to kill him. Therefore, Jesus was no longer active in public ministry among the Jewish leaders. Instead, he left Jerusalem and went to a place near the wilderness, to a city called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. It was almost time for the Jewish Passover, and many people went from the countryside up to Jerusalem to purify themselves through ritual washing before the Passover. They were looking for Jesus. As they spoke to each other in the temple, they said, What do you think? He won't come to the festival, will he? The chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where he was should report it, so they could arrest him. Psalms chapter 50. From the rising of the sun to where it sets, God, the Lord God, speaks, calling out to the earth. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines brightly. Our God is coming. He won't keep quiet. A devouring fire is before him. A storm rages all around him. God calls out to the skies above and to the earth in order to judge his people. Bring my faithful to me, those who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The skies proclaim his righteousness because God himself is the judge. Selah. Listen, my people, I will now speak. Israel, I will now testify against you. I am God, your God. I'm not punishing you for the sacrifices or for your entirely burned offerings, which are always before me. I won't accept bulls from your house or goats from your corrals, because every forest animal already belongs to me, as do the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every mountain bird. Even the insects in the field are mine. Even if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, because the whole world and everything in it already belongs to me. Do I eat bull's meat? Do I drink goat's blood? Offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Fulfill the promises you made to the Most High. Cry out to me whenever you are in trouble. I will deliver you, then you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, why do you talk about my laws? Why do you even mention my covenant? You hate discipline, and you toss my words behind your back. You make friends with thieves whenever you see one. You spend your time with adulterers. You set your mouth free to do evil, then harness your tongue to tell lies. You sit around talking about your own siblings. You find fault with the children of your very own mother. You've done these things, and I've kept quiet. You thought I was just like you. But now I'm punishing you. I'm laying it all out right in front of your face. So consider this carefully, all you who forget God, or I'll rip you to pieces with no one to deliver you. The one who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving is the one who honors me, and it is to the one who charts the correct path that I will show divine salvation. May God bless the reading of His Word. Have you ever heard the Christian recording artist named Carmen perform his song, Lazarus? It's really great. I saw him perform it a long time ago, many years ago here in Southern California. I'll put a link to the video on the show notes page for this episode at lifespringmedia.com and also on the Lifespring Media page on Facebook. I know you'll enjoy it. Also, Carmen has cancer right now. He's very sick and he needs our prayers. In Deuteronomy, Moses is remembering the journey that he's been on with the children of Israel and with God. He's reminding them of their history and what God has brought them through and delivered them from. He tells them he's not going into the promised land with him, and that if they remain faithful to God, then they'll be in the promised land forever. But if they do not, then they'll be scattered, and only a few of them will remain. But he said, when you are scattered, then you will remember the Lord and return to him, and he will remember you and restore you because of his love for you and his promise to their forefathers. And Psalm 50 today was a great one, wasn't it? In it, God basically said, I don't need your sacrifices. I already own everything. What I want is your sacrifice of thanks. I want your heart of devotion. I want you to follow me. I'm happy to follow a God who has done so much for me, who pursued me even before I knew him, who forgives me when I fail and picks me up, dusts me off, and says, I told you not to do that because I knew it would hurt you. Go now and don't do it again, okay? I hate to see you hurt yourself. Now, I know how much I love my own kids and now my grandkids. God loves you and me infinitely more than that. I can't help but love him back and try my best to please him. How about you? Well, happy Friday. Have a great one, okay? If you'd like to email me, I would love to hear what you have to say. My address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. And hey, if you enjoy the Lifespring Family Audio Bible, would you do me a favor and leave a review at iTunes? It'd mean a lot to me. Thanks. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.